This is from personal experience, and one for parents that we break away from news. It's to do with something that goes by the title of night terrors. Now, my four-year-old has gone through this recently with his sleeping patterns, and it was for 12 days straight, 12 nights straight, that early in his sleep, he would wake up basically in terror and have these episodes where he wouldn't actually wake up, but he'd be inconsolable, and they may last for 10, 15 minutes, and then he'd go back to sleep, and then half an hour later, again, it would start. He would be screaming, he'd be in some sort of episode, and this would go on for a number of hours. In fact, he wouldn't settle down until 3, 3.30 in the morning, and then sleep for the rest of the morning, and then wake up with no memory of what he'd gone through. And obviously had to look into it, went to a paediatrician and these night terrors, and you explore more about it, and it seems like there's a whole raft of possible causes. I'm pleading this morning to other parents who are listening on 13, 13, 32, if you've had any experience with these things, these night terrors, and what you did or what was discovered, what was the trigger for it. Let us bring an expert online. Professor Jill Sewell is on the line right now, a paediatrician and deputy director at the Centre for Community Child Health at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, first of all, for my benefit and indeed for the listeners, and I welcome their calls on 13 13 32 if they've had to deal with night terrors, what is the cause? What is there a common cause, or is there a whole raft of causes?
Well, I don't think there's a common cause. What you have described with your four-year-old is very typical, although not all children with night terrors have sort of multiple night terrors in the same night. Sometimes they just have one or two, but it might go on for longer than, say, 12 days in a row. We know that night terrors do usually happen in the first few hours of sleep compared to nightmares, which tend to happen in the second half of the night. And night terrors seem to be to do with what we call non-REM sleep. Nightmares occur in deep REM sleep. It's a different phase of the sleep cycle. And the children are obviously caught up in a state of what seems like, usually seems like fear. That's why they're called night terrors. But they don't become awake, and that's why it's so difficult for parents, because you can't really console them.
No. Our little boy, Harry, he just, in the end, settled himself and went back to sleep. But at no point could you say he was awake. His eyes may have been open at points, but at no stage did he respond to anything, didn't want to be touched. He was thrashing about. It's quite difficult to sit back and watch. How common are night terrors, and what age range are we talking about?
Well, it's hard to be absolutely sure, but probably about 5% of children, and somewhere between 2 or 3 years up to 6 or 8 years would be the common ages when we see night terrors. They can occur outside those ages, but I'd say around about 2 to 6 would be typical age. It's pretty unusual for them to last all of that time, over 4 years, but somewhere in those age ranges when they tend to occur.
Well, we had a fear that he'd been seeing something on an iPad. He's very adept at that. I've never even had an iPad in my life, but he can go through and had seen things, and he quoted something, Five Nights at Freddy or something, that was scary. But then we learned there are also theories along diet. He's had a nasal spray for possibility of hay fever as a possible thing to change his ways. Is there an instant cure when you're in this situation for other parents at the moment who may be dealing with it?
Well, I'm sorry to say that there is no instant cure. It's thought that night terrors can get a bit worse if the child is under some sort of stress, and that might be just like an ordinary stress. I don't mean a really abnormal stress, or overtired. And there's been various thinking about whether some sorts of medication might increase the risk a bit, but I don't think there's anything really been proven in those sort of theories. It seems to be a sort of a stage of development of children as they're, undoubtedly when we sleep, we do review what's happened during the day, but usually that's more directly associated with nightmares, where children will often have a nightmare about something that's happened and they wake up and you, as a parent, you can console them and they'll often remember it the next day and you can talk about what stress there might have been, perhaps setting off the nightmare. But with night terrors, it's in a certain part of sleep that seems to be sort of deep, in deep sleep, and there is usually no recollection of it the next day.
No, certainly in my experience there wasn't, none at all.
I think that's typical, and I think it's very hard for parents because you see your child quite distressed, but sometimes if you try and console them too much, you almost become part of the night terror yourself. You know, you sort of might be one of the players in the night terror. So what parents need to do is just sort of make sure their child is safe, you know, if they're thrashing around or even getting out of bed. But the most you can do is just hang out to make sure that they're safe, and then, you know, but you can't really console them, and I think that's quite distressing.
It is very tough, yeah. All right, Professor, thank you for your input this morning. Really appreciate you coming on the show so early.
You're welcome, Andrew.